from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm supposed to be in Florida right now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to be with you, and this Schumer shutdown grounded yours truly. Great to be with you, and it is insane. If you're traveling anywhere by airplane over the next, I don't know, several days, maybe even into next week, I would seriously reconsider that. So anyway, good to be with you, and we're going to have a great time on this Open Line Friday. So I was supposed to be the MC for the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. They're having a large gathering in Florida, and I was supposed to fly out yesterday, early yesterday morning. Had to get up at the crack o' dawn, like 3 a.m., and get out to the airport. Got there, and they were telling me, "Hey, look, you may get to Charlotte, but there's no guarantee we're going to be able to get you to Orlando." And then they suggested that, you know, I might want to consider booking with another carrier to see if, you know, they might have a better chance of getting me to where I was going. This is a story that is being repeated all at airports all across America right now. So I'm talking to the guy, and I'm like, what do you recommend I do here? Because I love Charlotte's great, and if I got stuck there, I could probably just, I don't know, drive up to Statesville, and I don't know, somebody, Miss Patty, Charles, maybe the folks at WSIC would, you know, let me, you know, borrow a couch to sleep on. But I didn't want to get stuck in Charlotte because I was supposed to be in Orlando. So anyway, had to end up canceling the plans to make matters even worse. So Saturday, after emceeing, and this has been a busy time, I've been on the road a lot, speaking, doing the engagements, and doing the book signings, all that kind of stuff. So Sunday, I was supposed to be at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas, and the plan was to fly from Orlando on Saturday to Plano to Dallas, and then to the big event. And so we canceled the flights, and long story short, I'm going to be driving from Memphis to Dallas tomorrow morning. And it's not bad. It's, what, a 5.5-hour trip. You got to drive through the wilderness of Arkansas, and then you get to Dallas. And I'm actually okay with that. First of all, flying, I do a lot of flying, and flying always makes me nervous anyway. I prefer to have my feet on terra firma. Sort of like, who was the guy? I think it was John Madden, who refused to fly and just took his bus everywhere, which is why the turducken tradition came along and came into existence. That's a story for another time. But anyway, I'll be driving down there Saturday, and the great news is there is a Buc-ee's between here and there, so all will be well with Todd Starnes. But what a mess it is right now at the airports, and the airlines have been told you've got to start cutting your flights. They were initially 4%, at least 10% of flights being canceled, and people are stuck. There was one poor guy that was having to he was, I think, at Newark, and he was in Newark and had to go to Utah. So they're literally renting a car to drive to Utah. And by the way, that's what I did yesterday. I'm like, okay, well, how far is it between Memphis and Orlando? And I'm like, geez, hello. It'll take me forever. It's like 13-hour drive. So anyway, it's a bad situation at airports all over the country. So I feel bad for you folks that are out there traveling. But you know what you need to do? You need to pick up the phone, and you need to ream out your Democrat. Whoever your Democrat representative, it is their fault. They're the reasons why the airports are a complete mess right now, and it's only going to get worse. Now, there is a lot of controversy brewing around the filibuster and whether or not the filibuster, President Trump, should get rid of the filibuster. Now, I've been on record until today, and I want to explain my slight change in opinion on this. I have been on record as saying it's a bad idea, because if the Republicans get rid of the filibuster, they can go back and reinstitute the filibuster. But when the Democrats get control of the Senate, they will do the exact same thing. And you will look at things like stacking the court, the whole nine yards, every single thing they want to be able to do, they'll be able to do. So here's the caveat, though, and President Trump laid this out, and actually the president's making a lot of sense here. President says if you do away with the filibuster, then every single thing the president has signed, every executive order gets codified, the entire agenda literally gets shoved down the throats of the Democrats. That's what happens if you lift the filibuster. Now, right now, John Thune says they don't have the votes to do that. And here's the president's argument, because the president said the Democrats will not honor tradition. This is all it is. The filibuster is a time-honored tradition. And President Trump is saying, hey, look, you need to pay attention here, because when the Democrats, if they ever get control of the Senate back, they're not going to honor tradition. They're going to do away with the filibuster, and you're going to have 13 members on the Supreme Court. They're going to pack the court, every single far-left thing, and hear me on this, they will go after every single freedom-loving patriot out there. They will weaponize everything to take you down. That's what's going to happen. So the president says, better that we do it first before the Democrats do. And with that caveat, I actually agree with the president. And when you look at how the Democrats are behaving, how radically progressive they're getting, I think it makes sense. So within that context, that is a fair assessment of why we need to do away with the filibuster. But now John Thune is saying they don't have the votes to do that. They don't have the Republican votes to do away with the filibuster. And why is that? Well, I want to posit a theory here. The theory is that the Republicans, there are a good many Republicans in the Senate who simply do not like the president's agenda. They may publicly praise President Trump, but privately they are still sporting that he is not a true establishment Republican, and therefore they oppose his agenda, and they do not want his agenda to move forward. That's, by the way, this is why nothing has been done, literally nothing. And I know everybody's talking about the big, beautiful bill. That thing is a monstrosity, and it is costing the American taxpayers more money than ever before. And I know that it codifies some of the lesser executive orders that the president signed, but the big ones have not been touched. And the reason why is because you've got Republicans in the House and the Senate, and they don't like Trump. They don't like the agenda, and they're going to do whatever they can to stomp the agenda. So that's what's going on here. And it's a bad thing. I'm telling you, it is a bad thing. But this is why we're not getting a lot of movement on a lot of the big issues. Now, I want to talk about something here. It's Open Line Friday. We're going to get to your calls, I promise you. But I want to talk about something that has been bothering me for really since Charlie Kirk died. And this actually precedes all of that, that predates all of that. There has been a festering anger within the MAGA movement, the America First movement. And you've got a lot of people out there who are angry. They are now creating these litmus tests. And they're trying to say that some people, that you're not a conservative if you don't believe our way. And it's really creating a civil war within MAGA world right now. I mean, that's what's going on. And this is all about 2028. So everything that's happening now is really about 2028. And everybody is positioning themselves for after Trump. Because when Trump leaves office, and Trump is not going to run for a third term, when Trump leaves office, it's going to be a free-for-all. And you're going to have Ron DeSantis out there, Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance. You're going to have a lot of voices that are trying to compete for who gets to carry that mantle. And I want to step out here and suggest something, and only because you have to put the puzzle pieces together. But a lot of people were wondering, why is it that they were documenting Charlie Kirk so much? Why is it that there were video cameras surrounding Charlie all the time? Well, his own team answered that question a day or two ago, and they said they were they were archiving all this footage because they anticipated that Charlie was going to run for president. I contend that Charlie was probably looking at running for president in 2028. He would have been, if I'm doing my math correctly, he would have been eligible by his age. But if not 2028, certainly the election cycle after that. And that's what this was all about. That was what the Turning Point USA movement was about, giving him the platform to be able to run for president. Well, that's over now. That's over. And now it is a free-for-all. And let me tell you something. MAGA is big business. And I can say that because you just can't even imagine the amount of money it costs to host events at Mar-a-Lago, to get into that platform. It is the grifters galore, ladies and gentlemen. This is a massive business, and everybody knows that. And that's why you've got so many of these so-called influencers out there right now, and they're trying to manufacture this chaos. I want to give you an example. How many videos, and we're being very selective on this show, how many times have you seen conservatives, and they've got the videos, and they're saying, oh, my God, I've been attacked. I've been brutally attacked on a college campus. Well, a lot of that is just manufactured. Instead of just, for example, Charlie would set up a tent and he'd have a Q&A. These folks are literally going to Antifa rallies, inserting themselves in the middle of the crowd and trying to manufacture some sort of chaos. And then they're grifting off of that. They'll launch GoFundMe campaigns. I need $30 for Band-Aids. You know, it's unbelievable. Just unbelievable. The amount of people trying to come on this radio program to do all that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, we've had to shut the gates. And we are very selective about who comes onto this program. Because there are a lot of grifters out there. And they care more about their platforms than they do the current state of affairs in this nation. These people that are out there, they don't care about God or country. All they care about is the almighty dollar, and they're using Trump. They're using the America First movement to raise money off it. It's just unacceptable. And a lot of people are just gullible. I don't know what else to say, but you've got to start doing your homework. Now, we've been doing what we've been doing for 20-some-odd years. What I believed 20 years ago is what I believe right now. That's just how we operate here. You may not agree with it, and that's okay. But I'm telling you, I worked at Fox News for 15 years, and I got a front row view of what was happening and what was about to happen to the movement. And this is nothing against Fox at all. I'm just telling you that this is what was going on. I remember I was talking to an executive on the second floor, and that's where Roger Ailes' office was back in the day. That's where all the executives were. And I remember as I was sitting across from him in his desk at his office, and he said, Todd, I want you to look around because only 1% of the people working at Fox are actually conservative. The people that think like you and I do, ladies and gentlemen, as an audience, about 1%. It's insane. And I would say that the percentage of the actual true conservatives within these grifters and the social media platform people, I suspect those numbers are even lower. People stealing content, making it their own, people stealing videos, making it their own. It's an ugly world out there. It's the wild, wild west in social media. And it's a shame. And it's a shame that there are so many people that are trying to destroy the movement that President Trump built and that you built, much like the Tea Party. The same thing happened to the Tea Party movement. Same thing happened. This beautiful grassroots organic thing, and people realized, oh, wait a second, we can make money off of this. And it was destroyed. And the same thing's going to happen here. And I've seen this coming for years. And I will just tell you that a lot of this feels like junior high school. Remember junior high school at lunchtime when you had the cool kids table? It's kind of like a jocks versus nerds thing going on here, right? So you've got the good-looking conservatives out there on all the big social media platforms. They've got the Botox and the fancy clothes, and the guys wear the black T-shirts. And the, you know what I'm talking about. Those are the cool kids. But the problem is a lot of those cool kids and are not conservatives, and I'm not naming names because I'm not going to get sucked into all of this. You know, because this audience, out of all the audiences that are in talk radio, this audience, you guys know, your intuition is spot on. And you know who the phonies are. You know who the fakers are. Now, I just want to throw this out there. It was a rough day. It was a rough day on Tuesday for the Republican Party. Not many people are willing to admit that to you. But I'm just going to posit this question. How many of those races were lost because Jews and legal naturalized Indians stayed home and did not vote? Because when they hop on social media, they realize that they are no longer welcome in this, I don't know what you want to call it, Republican Party. You've got people out there that are saying, all of you Christians, you've got some sort of a brain bug, that if you support Christians who support Israel, there's something wrong with you. You've got your theology wrong. I'm wondering how many of the Christians who support Israel stayed home because they realized, oh, wait a second, I'm no longer welcome in this Republican Party. I got to take a break here. I've got so much to say about this, but we've got to have this conversation. And I'm telling you, folks, if we don't get our act together, the midterms are going to be a complete disaster. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or health care. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/Starnes or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation. All right, real quick, let's try to work in a call here. Doug in Georgia. Hi, Doug, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, I'm going to keep it really quick. The GOP is handling the shutdown thing completely wrong. They're spending all their time telling us how bad the Democrats are. They're telling us about a clean CR. Most people don't know what any of that means, but people understand math. The way you open the government is it takes 60 votes. The Republicans are putting up 52 votes. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, who's holding out the balance of the vote? The Democrats. 7 or 8 votes is all we need. They are the ones who are clearly keeping the government shut down. Simple math. If you can't get 8 votes out of 50 people, something's wrong. That's all we need to say. But the GOP messes it up with hostage talk and just everything else. That's all I have to say. It's so frustrating.
No, I hear you on that, Doug, and the messaging has been off. I appreciate that they're holding, you know, that they're holding the line here and they haven't capitulated. But the Democrats see this, and the Democrats are going into all of this now. Doug, thanks for the call. They're going into all of this thinking that their decision to hold their line is what won them the election on Tuesday. The multiple elections on Tuesday. So now they're seeing this as politically expedient for them. Again, remember the Democrats said that the suffering of the people is worth it if it helps them out politically. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. And welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. I want to thank our good friend Andy Hoosier from our affiliate in Wichita, Kansas, the Big Talker, for filling in yesterday. Did a terrific job. And again, because of the Schumer shutdown, can't get to Florida for the engagement I was supposed to be speaking at. And ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage you, call your elected members of Congress, and especially the Democrats, and give them a good piece of your mind. You folks in Georgia, you got two of them. So they are the ones that are responsible for all of this pain and suffering happening in the country right now. Well, let's go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend from the great state of Alabama, Senator Tommy Tuberville. Senator, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Yeah, doing well, Senator. I think there are a lot of frustrated people out there around the country. And we just had a caller from Georgia, and he said the Republicans need to do a better job of just making it super simple and explaining the math here. You guys just don't have the votes, and you've got to have some Democrats on board.
We do, because we have a 60-count vote to pass anything in the Senate, and they're not going to vote. I mean, all the Democrats yesterday just decided, after now negotiating the last week, Todd, with our leadership behind the scenes, they were actually going in late at night so the media wouldn't see them, trying to work out a deal for this week, saying, okay, we need to get this done. We're going to lose some seats if we don't do it. So it was going to be done yesterday, but Schumer and Chris Murphy, all these radical communists, all got together and just forced all the Democrats to say, no, we're not going to do this. You're not going to get any campaign money if you side with Republicans, so the American people are going to suffer. We're not going to give in and spend $1.5 trillion more money that we don't have. And so I don't know where we go from here unless our Senate buddies on my side say enough's enough. We're going to do away with the filibuster. We're going to do 51 votes. We're going to vote MAG in for the next 3 years and show people that voted for President Trump that we're actually going to do what we said we're going to do. But if we don't bust the filibuster, it is going to be tough times for the American people.
It's a nuclear option. And, Senator, I've been strongly opposed to all of this. And, again, the filibuster served a purpose. But when I heard President Trump explain the rationale behind it, he actually makes a lot of sense here. And this is a time-honored tradition in the Senate. And there's no reason to believe that the Democrats, if they ever got power again, they would nuke it, and then their agenda would be shoved right down the throats of the American people.
Well, you're exactly right. And here's the scenario. If we sit on our haunches and don't give the American people what they want with President Trump, which is last 3 years, and give MAGA their country back, then they're going to vote Republicans out. They're going to take over the Senate. And they will bust the filibuster, guaranteed they're going to do it. So the only chance we got, Todd, is to bust it, go ahead and vote in ID, valid ID for voting, no mail-in ballots, do away with the voting machines, do all the things that we need to do, and we won't give up power. We don't have to worry about them busting the filibuster. We will already have busted, and we will have things rolling. But if we don't do it, it's going to be over, and I don't blame the American people for voting us out.
And Senator, I think that was the message that people were trying to send to the Republican Party and the administration on Tuesday. I know everybody's sort wanting to gloss over what happened here, but for me, the bigger issue was the down-ballot races where Republicans got clobbered, and a lot of incumbents were ousted. I think that the people are sick and tired of the do-nothingness in Congress.
Exactly. And we do nothing. We're sitting here for 24 hours. We haven't voted on anything. We're looking around our leadership wondering, what do we do now? Do we go home? Yeah, we go home. We tell everybody that, hey, this is the Democrats. Let's vote this afternoon to open the government. If they don't do it, just give them a few days. The American people, they're going to come up in arms, and they should. Air traffic controllers going under, not safe to fly, military not getting a check, food stamps being underfunded. I mean, this is nuts. This is absolutely nuts. We're not doing our job. And again, it's all because the tradition of the Senate. Hey, the Senate needs to lose its power and send it back to the executive branch. And if they want to sign it, fine. If they don't want to sign it, fine. But let's give the people what they want.
Senator, just to clarify, because I'm one of those guys. I was supposed to be. I was not supposed to be here today. I was supposed to be in Florida. You're saying it's not safe to fly right now.
I wouldn't be flying. I guarantee you, because you don't have enough people in these towers now. More likely, nothing's going to happen. But my goodness, you know, you got people calling in sick. You got air traffic controllers handling a lot more planes as they're flying. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, but that's. Why do you think we're cutting out flights? Because we don't have enough people to control them. I'm not saying it's not safe to fly now that President Trump said, hey, enough's enough. Cut out 10% of them. We cannot allow people to fly with not enough air traffic controllers. So it's probably safe to fly, but the more and more of these air traffic controllers that call in sick, President Trump's going to have to just keep cutting the amount of planes that are in the air.
Senator, one of the things that's really enraged our listeners are these able-bodied people that are getting food stamps. There's video circulating of a guy who literally got into a fight at a Subway sandwich shop because he couldn't use his EBT card to buy a Subway sandwich. Senator, I know a lot of hardworking Americans that can't afford to go out to eat, and now these folks are using our tax dollars to go and grab a Subway sandwich.
Yeah, the problem we got is the Biden administration and the Democrats allowed millions of people to come here, and they're on all the food stamps, they're on Social Security, which they definitely shouldn't be on, they're on federal housing, and so we can't take care of the American citizen. I mean, it doesn't add up to what the Biden administration did exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to get voters, but now you got to pay for them, and the American taxpayers are having to foot the bill, and it's not right. And that's the reason we bust the filibuster, we send their butts home, we close that border, no more globalization. Muslims are getting ready to take over New York. They're going to run everybody out of New York unless you're a Muslim, and Sharia law and study the Quran, all those crazy things that are trying to take over this country. We're going to turn into Europe if we don't watch it. And so we got to give President Trump the ability to what the American people wanted is take our country back. And we're sitting here in the Senate going, oh, it's a tradition. We can't do it. I mean, that's not the way we've done in the past. This is not the same country we've had in the past, and we better wake up and smell the roses.
I want to talk about Nigeria and TPUSA in just a second, but I want to follow up with that. Do you think that's the reason why, though, they're saying it's tradition? I'm wondering if we've just got some Republican senators that do not want this president's agenda to move forward.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Now, you've got a half a dozen or to a dozen that can't stand President Trump because they come from states that they think that they can get reelected even if they fight against President Trump. That's the problem what we have. But, again, overall, it's a lot of power. You know, the people lose power up here. And there's no doubt that in the Senate, we've got a lot of power. And we push that power around. The power needs to go to Donald J. Trump. We pass things that the American people won't pass. We send it to him. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't sign it. If he signs it, that means the American people want it. But we better save this country now. We are circling in a toilet bowl right now with all the things going on. We just went over $38 trillion in debt, Todd, and we were $37 trillion in debt in August. So in 2 months, we spent $1 trillion more than we should. I mean, we're out of control. This country will be over if we don't pass it and get out of this filibuster and give the American people their country back.
Senator Tommy Tuberville joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And, of course, Senator, you were there for that incredible event TPUSA at Auburn. What an incredible thing to see just so thousands and thousands of young people there for that event.
Oh, it was awesome. You know, it was awesome in Turning Point, and Charlie Kirk did a great job. I was good friends with him. We've got to continue that. You know, the next generation is going to control this country. Charlie was making a lot of headway because he was telling the damn truth about this country and what's going on, and they killed him for it. They tried to kill President Trump, but they didn't get him. And I tell you, this is a dangerous world we live in, but we've got to tell our kids the truth. We've got to educate them. We've got to get this DEI nonsense out of our country and give them freedom back. But it worries me, Todd, because we have got so many of these Looney Tunes on the left. And there's no Democrats anymore. They're socialist communists, and they want power, and they'll do anything to get it.
I think we got some Looney Tunes on the right, too, and this infighting within MAGA world, you know, I mean, you wonder, you know, they're saying, oh, we don't want Jews in the party. We don't want the Indian Americans in the party or the Christians who support Israel. It's like, where the hell is all of this coming from, Senator? Pardon my language.
Well, I don't know where it's coming. How about we just go to the Constitution. We fight for what did President Trump run on? America first. And we just fight for America first. We got friends all over the world. But we get out of these foreign wars. We pump the money back into our economy. We get people good jobs. We quit allowing communists to come in this country to control it. We quit allowing Muslims to come in this country to control it. We do everything we possibly can to save the best country ever for 250 years. But I'm telling you, I don't have a lot of hope right now with the leadership that we have other than President Trump. And we got to give it to him. And you brought up a while ago, this country was built on Christianity. There are hundreds of thousands of Christians being slaughtered in Africa and Nigeria by Muslim, radical Islamic Muslims. Hundreds of thousands. 18,000 churches burned over the last 10 years. You got to be kidding me. Now, President Trump's exactly right. I'm not for wars, but I'm telling you one thing. If we continue to allow this to happen over there, it's coming here. So, President Trump, if you need to do something in Nigeria or Africa to protect the Christians, we need to do it.
I'm with you 1,000%. And, Senator, let's get real here. You're the one who brought this to the nation's attention, that powerful speech you gave, and the president pointed that out, and it is a dangerous thing. And my concern is in New York City, they're going to try to implement Sharia in that city. It may not happen overnight, but it is going to happen, and it is going to destroy New York City.
Todd, in your and my lifetime, we will see New York City, nothing but Muslims. It will be a third world country, just like San Francisco, just like Detroit. It'll be brought to its knees. It'll continue to spread. We have got to do something about this Muslim Brotherhood nonsense. If you teach in Sharia law, you got to go. Now, we're a country of immigrants. If you want to assimilate and go to the Constitution and don't want to burn our flag, don't chant death to America. Hey, we're all for you. You know, be part of our country. But if you're coming here to change it, it's time to take your butt home, because we cannot allow this to fester up. And this should ring an alarm bell, what happened in New York, because they will take it over. Everybody will move out except if you're a Muslim and a Sharia law lover. And then it will continue to grow. It's got to stop, and it's got to stop before it gets too big.
Yeah, well said. Senator, always appreciate your candor. And let's just hope that people are listening on Capitol Hill and in Washington to what you just said. We got to get this resolved. Senator, thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Grab a hold and hold on. It's going to be bumpy.
Yes, sir. It is. It is indeed. Senator Tommy Tuberville, aren't you glad that he's in Washington speaking truth to the culture and truth to power, by the way? Just unbelievable what's happening in our country right now. All right. Got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Your reaction to Senator Tuberville. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Let's go right to the phone lines. Charles in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Charles. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. That was an excellent interview you just had with Senator Tuberville, and I just want to echo what you said and what Senator Tuberville said. You know, 2 years ago, Todd, just like you, I'm a traditionalist, and I would have said, do not end the filibuster. But that's assuming that we have sensible Democrats in the Senate that actually believe and cherish the institutions that we have and the values that we mutually share. And that's just no longer the case. These people that are getting ready to take over the Senate, these Democrats that are coming up, the AOCs, the Mamdani, those people, these are diehard Marxist radical Bolsheviks. And they're all about power. And if we don't end the filibuster, I'm afraid we're going to lose the one chance that we have to save our country, implement President Trump's agenda, and turn this country around. Because the minute they take power, Todd, that's the first thing they're going to do is abolish the filibuster, add Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. as states, pack the Supreme Court, and then we're done. We're done.
That's
and
it.
I don't know. Do you know, Todd, which Republican senators have actually come on record against abolishing the filibuster? I mean, who do we need to persuade?
We're going
to
get that list, and we're working on that information right now. And I don't want to – I've got a few thoughts, but I want to make sure I get my information correct on that, Charles. But I don't think it's going to be terribly surprising when we run down the list. You heard Senator Tuberville say 6 to 12 GOP senators.
Yeah, and we just need a simple majority to end the filibuster. Is that correct?
That's it. Yeah. All it takes is a simple majority.
Actually, we need 50, and J.D. Vance to be the tiebreaker. We need 50 senators is what we need.
Yeah, but Tuberville saying we have 6 to 12, they don't have the votes.
Yeah. Well, these Republicans, these holdouts, I mean, they need to just, you know, get their heads out of you-know-what because – it's time to quit playing nice, and it's time to take the gloves off and fight. Because if they don't wake up right now, you're looking at a very unstable country as we move forward. And I don't see how we come back from the abyss.
Charles, what do you make of all the division right now? I mean, you've got Megyn Kelly, Candace Tucker, Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin. Everybody's going at it.
Well, I think a lot of it is people who aren't really part of the MAGA movement. I think, like you said, they're grifters. And then I just think there's a building frustration among people, I mean, including me, Todd, that have voted and we put these people in power and they're just like, they keep getting ready to get ready and they don't do anything. Like the Mike Johnsons, I mean, you know, he always throws up the excuse, well, we only have a simple majority, a small majority. Well, guess what? You got a majority, and you got a willpower, and you can't be afraid to take a risk and deliver on what your voters want. You know, MTG, Todd, said something perfectly the other day. She said politics and business are alike. Business 101 says if you have a business and you don't deliver your product or service to your customers don't come back.
That's it.
Politics 101 is when you promise your voters something and you don't deliver, don't expect them to come back and vote for you again.
Yeah, got to leave it there, Charles. We are coming up on the break. Good call. All right, folks, hang tight. We're going to be talking to David Jones, running for governor of Maine. An insane story. A councilwoman convicted of murder just got elected. No, you cannot make this up. We'll tell you all about it coming up. Also, 901-260-5926. Give us a holler. This is Open Line Friday.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, I thought I had heard just about every story out there, but this one is a doozy. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. This story out of Bangor, Maine. the Daily News reporting that a woman has been elected to the town council there, the city council of Bangor, Maine, Angela Walker. More than two decades ago, she pleaded guilty to killing a man, a Canadian tourist by the name of Derek Rogers. Walker, one of three council members elected. Oh, there's a photograph of her addressed as, is that a witch? Yeah, it looks like a witch. How appropriate. She was sponsored by the politically progressive Maine nonprofit group Food and Medicine. She was convicted in 2003 of killing Mr. Rogers. According to the report, a fight broke out at Old Orchard Beach. Rogers allegedly called her a derogatory term for a Native American woman. No, Dylan, I don't know if it was Pocahontas. I don't know what the name was. Sorry. That's irrelevant. His body was later discovered, brutally beaten. He was beaten to death. And get this. She and her brother were both in cahoots here. She apparently poured sand down the guy's mouth and he suffocated. He suffocated. Just a terrible story. Unbelievable. She was sentenced to 10 years behind bars. Just kind of gives you the lowdown of what's going on in the state of Maine. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to David Jones, running as a Republican for governor there. David, good to have you with us.
Oh, it's always good to hear your voice, Todd.
Sounds like pretty low bar there in Bangor, Maine.
Oh my God! How do you even put your arms around this? I mean, what's happening in our great state is just—it's mind-boggling to me. I've been living here for almost 30 years, full-time resident, and I'll tell you, I can't believe the mindset of the folks that are, you know, getting elected to office. You know, the Democrat Socialist Party is moving these people forward like there's no tomorrow. They're supporting, raising tons of money. They have these rallies and get behind these candidates that should not hold office. This one in particular, I mean, oh my God, what's the answer there? And what is the mindset to say, I want that person to be a leader of the community? The bar, like you said, the threshold's down so low. And, hopefully I can raise that as the next governor of the state of Maine. We've been working our tail off to travel throughout the state, listen to people, find out what's going on, find out what's important to them. We're doing it. And people are embracing the message. But this, you know, you look at it and you think, wow, you know, you look at the other night, Tuesday night, what happened as well across our country.
Well,
Republicans got work to do.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And as bad as that was, let me just say this. The more concerning story out of Maine, it turns out not to be that, you know, the people of Bangor, Maine elected a killer, but it's that Maine voters defeated a voter ID ballot initiative and actually approved red flag gun restrictions. And, I mean, this was not even close. What's your take on that?
Look, I worked out. I worked very hard. Every speech that I've ever given in front of any group of people since I've been running for governor, I've been for yes on one, no on two. These are common sense issues. The idea that anyone would support someone not having an ID, I mean, you need an ID to do anything, right? But your vote, you're deciding the future of the area, the state, you know, the county, or whatever you're voting on, and you don't have to prove who you are. Somebody knows that David Jones is out of town, and they know my address, and they go into the town hall, and they say, hey, I'm David Jones, this is my address, and they let me vote, let that person vote. I mean, it's just, you know, honestly, common sense has to apply. I think, and, you know, I'll say this, Todd, no matter where I go, people are upset. They're enraged. But you know what? We've had this problem where people just don't get out to vote. That petition, the SM1, collected 170,000 votes. I think they only collected, signatures to get it on the ballot. They only had 116,000 people vote for it. And so this, again, with Shanna Bellows, with her wizardry of words, if I was running that, I would have made one point. All we want is voter ID. All the other stuff we could have worked out later on. One point. voter ID, show valid ID, and then the red flag law. I mean, this could be politicized. I'm hoping this is going to go to court and get overturned. It deserves to be. I mean, just the idea that someone could just pick up the phone, whether it's an enemy, a spouse, or an old girlfriend, boyfriend, and say you've got guns, and then they come in and just take your guns out of your home. This is just another shot at, you know, destroying the Second Amendment right. Bottom line, both of them, I can't. They both passed, but it's not going to hold with me as governor.
David Jones on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He's running for governor of Maine. And David, what is your website? I don't have that info in front of me.
It's jones2026.com. And I'll tell you, here's my cell phone number, 207-650-3455. I want to hear from people. I've been listening to people all over the state. And anybody with any common sense, pick up the phone. So send me an email, david@jones2026.com. I would love to hear from you.
All right, again, jones2026.com. And David, great guy, and I know you know a lot of good folks all across the state of Maine. It's really concerning that so many Republicans stayed home on Tuesday and did not get out and vote. And clearly, Democrats were motivated. They rallied, and they got their people out. You know, we can't, you know, you can have the best candidates and you can have the best platforms, but if people aren't going out there and voting, and if Trump's not on the ballot, this is not a good indicator of things.
It definitely is not. You know, I think in total about 400,000 people out of 1.4 million people voted in this last round here.
Wow.
That's sickening.
Yeah,
it
is.
So we got to do it. We got to get out the vote, and we need your help in doing it.
All right, David, you got to leave it there. Good luck to you. We'll get you back on many times, and thanks for keeping an eye on things there in the great state of Maine.
Anytime. Good talking to you, Tom.
All right. You know, this may be the first candidate who's ever given out his cell phone number. I don't even do that. The guy gave out a cell phone number on national radio, jones2026.com. Go and check it out. But again, a very simple thing. The fact of the matter is, if you get pulled over by the police, what do you have to show them? You got to show them your driver's license, right? You got to have some form of ID. If you go to the bank, you want to get some money out of the bank, you got to show an ID. It's very simple. Go check into a hotel. I was just in Branson, and they said, "Mr. Starnes, great to see you again. We just need to see your ID to confirm you are who you are." Very simple things here. So I'm not sure why all of a sudden, you know, it's somehow racist to ask somebody to provide some form of identification when you're actually casting a vote. But we all know the answer to that, and the answer is because the Democrats brought in millions and millions of illegals so they could vote. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Sonny in Ocala, Florida, hanging out with us today. Hi, Sonny. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I'm with this shutdown of the Congress with the Democrats. This is not any dispersency against registered Democrat people, but the people in Washington are Democrats, and they are holding up our government with this shutdown. They're affecting people that can't afford to lose anything as far as their salaries or SNAP or what other benefits they're getting. I say the Republicans could go with a simple majority and just hold back the Democrat pay. Now, why not do it? The Democrats can sue Republicans, but I called my representatives. Two senators, or you're lucky if you can get through to an answering machine. And that's not a joke. I called my regular representative, and he told me, we can't sue fellow congresspeople. That is absurd. The Democrats sued Trump multiple times, and other people are brought to court. Republicans were to do the same thing to them, make sure you use a Republican-appointed judge.
So let me ask you, who's your representative, Sonny?
My congressional representative is Kat Kamek. My Senate representatives are Scott and one that replaced Rubio, I believe it's a female. I can't remember her name right now. But the thing is, these people make it very hard. So we have local Republican Party, Democrat Party offices all over the state here in Florida. They're all over every state. You go to the local office and you say, hey, we got to start suing the representatives that aren't representing the people.
Sonny, we don't need to sue because that'll take years. That'll take years. But what you can do is recall. And I mean, you can sue, and that's what I was trying to get at. There is the ability for a member of Congress to sue another member of Congress. The question is, but there are some caveats to that. And the question is, can they sue them based on what? Not doing anything? I don't think you can do that. I think that, you know, you'd have to have some sort of a cause for them to be able to file a lawsuit. So, but Sonny, I hear your frustration. The reality here is the Republicans are going to have to nuke the filibuster, go in, pass this continuing resolution, and let's get things back in order. That's going to be the right cause here. Sonny, I got to run. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. And by the way, I want to encourage you to go over to our website and sign up for our newsletter. You're going to love it. We have well over 250,000 people that are now subscribers to the Todd Stearns newsletter. It comes out every morning and is filled with stories that you will not see anywhere else. I can promise you that. So head over right now, toddstearns.com in the break, and be sure to sign up for our free newsletter. It's right there at the very top of the page. We'll be right back. Hey, by the way, I know many of you are getting ready to do the Christmas shopping, and I would love for you to get a copy of my brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, and it is a wonderful little book. It makes a perfect stocking stuffer. You can just plop it right there in the Christmas stocking, and you can get yourself a copy of the book wherever you buy your books. You can also get it on Amazon, or if you'd like, I will personally inscribe and autograph a copy for you at toddstearns.com. Just click on our store tab, and you'll be able to order a copy right there. Let's go to Ocala, Florida. Larry, listening to us on WOCA. Hi, Larry. What's on your mind?
How you doing, good, buddy? Hey, look, I was hearing you talk about why the Republicans didn't show up and vote, and I think it's pretty simple. Every time we vote Republican, during the campaign, we hear how they're going to fight for us. And you start to wonder, do they even know what the word fight means? Because as soon as they get elected, well, we got to be pragmatic. We only are one third or one half. We don't have, and it's just excuse after excuse after excuse. And we're tired of it. They didn't release the Epstein files. They're not shrinking government. They're not cutting spending. I mean, they do DOGE and then don't do anything that DOGE recommended. What good does it do to vote Republican?
Larry, it's a good question you're asking, and I know you don't mean for it to be a rhetorical question, and I'm sure that our listeners are going to be fired up about this because you do raise very valid concerns. So, what is it the Republicans need to be doing? What do you want them to see them do that they haven't done?
Well, that's a good question. One, deporting people. So during the campaign, it was we're going to deport illegal aliens, and then there was a period at the end of the sentence. Then after Donald Trump got elected and they took over the Senate and the House, then it was, well, we're only going to do the violent criminals. No, if you're illegal, you're gone. You're already breaking the law by being here illegal. We don't need caveats behind, well, if you're this illegal or that illegal, then you look at another thing, the prosecution of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, all these other just criminal politicians that we just, and then the excuse that, well, statutes of limitation has expired. We couldn't get it done. Bull crap. You did it on purpose. I mean, how stupid are we if we keep believing this crap?
You know, one thing that they need to do that they haven't done, Larry, and this means this is so important. Trump said he was going to abolish the Department of Education. As far as I know, the lights are still on and people are still getting a paycheck. And if we do not abolish that, that has to be a priority. I mean, it's right up there with the immigration issue, because that's how these radicals are being educated. You want to know why so many people voted for Ma'am Dahmy? Because that's what they were told to do in their public taxpayer-funded classrooms. So if we do not abolish the Department of Education, Larry, we're going to lose the country if it isn't already lost.
Well, that's a fact. Good point there. I'll tell you another one. I'm actually a heating and air conditioning guy. The EPA, what they're doing to us on the Freon regulations, they are literally forcing people to put propane as a refrigerant into your home. And what used to be safe, that they said destroyed the ozone layer, it now is a bomb in your house. They'll burn your house down. Oh, and we're more concerned with the environment than we are the safety of your family. And not to mention, look what they've done to the cost of it. Because it's so dangerous, it has to have redundancy in the safeties, which drives the cost up. What used to be, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 is now $6,000 or $7,000. And why is Trump not taking on the EPA? He said he would, and then we get nothing.
These are all fair concerns that you have raised. And I think President Trump has been doing a great job. I think his cabinet has, some of them have been doing a good job, but many of them have not. And we're missing some opportunities here. I think that there are a lot of folks within the administration that do not want to see this agenda accomplished. And that was, I think, in part of the messaging that was sent to the administration and to the Republican Party on Tuesday. And they would be wise to listen to people like yourself, Larry, because I can sense your frustration and your anger, and it's a righteous anger. It really is. So we'll see what happens here. But ladies and gentlemen, Larry, thanks for the call. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about Larry and what Larry had to say? That the Republicans are just not doing what they campaigned on. They made promises out there on the campaign trail, and they're simply not following through on those promises. What say you? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Wow, I'm looking at all of the flight delays and cancellations. There's also now a 60% chance that all U.S. airspace could be shut down when it's all said and done if the Democrats don't reopen the government. So we'll keep you updated there, but it is not looking good. In all honesty, if you can cancel your wherever you were planning to fly this weekend, you might want to do it. Otherwise, you're going to be staying at an airport. Dylan, I could not. I was not going to be stuck at Orlando International Airport.
Yeah, no. You'd be forced to go to Disney probably.
Well, after a week at the happiest place on earth, those are not very happy people.
Oh, no.
Most of them are broke. So much money to go to Disney.
They live there.
It's terrible. All right, we're going to get to your calls in just a moment. Hang tight. It is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. May I tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile? You know, they've got a pretty doggone great cell phone service, and I know many of you are always frustrated with your cell phone service. Well, you're not going to be disappointed with Patriot Mobile because they do not sacrifice quality or service. Their coverage is pretty incredible. They use all three major U.S. networks. So if you have service in the country today, you're going to have it as good or better with Patriot Mobile. They're also the only Christian and conservative-owned cell phone company in the nation. And a portion of everything they make goes to support patriotic causes, including so many programs for our great veterans. By the way, if you want to keep your phone, you can keep your phone. You want to keep your number, you can keep your number. Or you can also upgrade to a new phone. And their customer service team is based right here in America. By the way, West Coast Baptist College students, good friends of ours, their students actually run the customer service lines. So you're going to be talking to kids who are Americans and can speak English. That's worth it right there. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Go check out all the different programs and platforms they have. Again, that's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call them at 972-PATRIOT. Now use my promo code Todd and they're going to give you a free month, an entire free month of service. Got to use that promo code Todd. Well, I do want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good buddy, Joe Messina, national syndicated radio host and all-around great American. Joe, hope you're doing well today.
I am. Living here in North Venezuela, we're doing great.
Well, if we're not careful, we're all going to be living in Venezuela.
No kidding.
Joe, there's just a lot of concern. You know, our show, we try to be very, very upbeat. But Tuesday was a very disturbing day, and I think everybody's trying to gloss over it. And I keep going back to the point that Republicans stayed home. They're not motivated to get out to vote. And I think one of the reasons why is they are very unhappy right now with the Republicans running Congress.
Oh, do you blame them? I mean, seriously, I Tuesday night came and went, and in the last hour of the show, I said, is anybody really surprised? I mean, look at the candidates we had for New York City. When was the last time, other than Rudy Giuliani, that we had a solid, decent candidate for New York City? We haven't. And look at here in California. Let me give you an idea. We have 23 million registered voters in California. Of them, 10 million Dems and 6 million Republicans. Okay? And we had a dismal showing of Republicans again for the that Prop 50 where they were redrawing the lines. And we don't move, Todd. Trump has ginned up the MAGA team. And when he's on the ballot or he shows up, he gets everybody excited. But after that, it's kind of like the fizzle, you know, and we don't show. So how can we complain? I don't get it.
Joe, one of the things that really concerns me is the lack of movement on defunding the Department of Education. We had a caller point out all these great DOGE cut recommendations. Have those actually been followed through on? I don't think they have. And if so, it's still not enough. We're not making a dent at all in government spending.
No, we haven't seen the cuts come through. I know that, you know, I'm on a school board of one of the larger school districts in California, and we haven't seen it. We're still getting money from the feds, or not directly through the state. And again, even with the things that are coming down from Harmeet Dhillon, you know, and she's putting pressure on the Department of Education, nothing is moving. And Todd, look at what we have. We have the opportunity. I agree with Trump. Wipe out the filibuster. You know the Dems have gotten to the point in their life or their cycle where they're going to do it if they get power again. And based on what I've seen at the polls, I believe they will get power again at some point in time. So we need to play the same guerrilla warfare within the law that they're playing.
Well, the challenge there in the Senate is you don't have gentlemen in the Senate anymore. I mean, as much as you can use that word in describing a politician, but they would have gentlemen's agreements. Those days are gone, and the radicalized Democrats that are being elected, they have no regard for tradition. And I think Trump is right. I think that's the first order of business. They will completely abolish it, and the next thing you know, we're going to have 52 states. We're going to be adding more stars to the flag.
Yeah, we don't have statesmen either anymore who really want to do what's best for America. That's number one. They're not interested in that. They're interested in doing for party. If you have a chance at some point in time, you know, Nancy Pelosi yesterday, everybody got excited about her stepping down. And, you know, I wish her well. She's a human being. So I wish her well. Go ahead and spend time with your grandchildren or whatever. But the next guy in line for that seat is Senator Scott Wiener from California. He is the pedophile senator. The majority of bills he puts forward, he was the guy that put the bill forward where 12-year-olds could get an abortion without their parents knowing about it. 12-year-olds could actually have sex with people, men, women, whatever, up to 10 years older than them and not be considered statutory rape. This guy is the devil's second cousin.
Is that the wiener that was going around wearing the leather chaps and all
yes.
that kind of stuff in San Francisco?
Yes.
Oh, geez, hello.
But he's well-loved in his area.
You know, here's the thing. I mean, if given the choice of having to have, what is it, Senator Slabo, that was Fetterman, wearing the cargo shorts and the sweaters, as opposed to a guy showing up wearing buttless leather chaps, I'm going with Fetterneck.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm 100%. I'd rather have a dozen Fettermans on the Democrat side than even some of our own senators, frankly.
So Prop 50, dangerous situation. Looks like you guys are going to get slaughtered. Republicans are going to get slaughtered out there. We're losing, what, possibly Kevin Kiley, Daryl Issa. Who else is on the chopping block?
I think there's five or six seats that'll be lost. But those are the two biggies. Those are the guys that fight for us on a regular basis. Now, I know the Dillon Law Firm, I think, has taken on the job of suing. And they're hoping that SCOTUS comes through with, you know, the discrimination lawsuit on the Voter Rights Act. So if they come through with that, then I think we have a chance to stop them implementing Prop 50.
And the SCOTUS lawsuit they're considering is some of these congressional districts were redistricted strictly because of race, which we're now contending is illegal.
Oh, yeah, and you know, the lines that were drawn here in California for those, when you look at them, you know, the community that I live in, we're tied to two other communities that have absolutely nothing in common with this community. So I don't know how you get somebody to represent all three, if you would. It's just not going to work out well. And California did its own Voters' Rights Act about 10 years ago, where every district, now, you know, usually school districts, they're people in the community vote for them, the whole community. So what they did now is they broke it down into, we have five different areas where we run to be elected. And it was supposed to help the Hispanic community. They said it. It was supposed to help the Hispanic community have more seats at the table. We lost the only two Hispanics we had when they did that. I'm like, good job, boys. You did a great, great job there. Helped me out tremendously.
Joe, I want to go to the phone lines here. We have Boyd, who's listening to us in Martin, Georgia. And Boyd wants to weigh in on the Department of Education. And since that's sort of like your wheelhouse, I'd love for you to weigh in on this. Hey, Boyd, what's going on? You're on the air with me and Joe.
Yeah. Hey, Todd. Thank you very much. Thank you both. I know this sounds kind of crazy, but with the way things are going right now, it's almost like we need the Department of Education. We just need to be the ones running it. And we need to get down to the state level and start filtering out all these people that are destroying our children's education. These governors in these rogue states, we're electing Muslims now. So, I mean, we're just getting into areas that it just seems like maybe we just need to ramp up and we need to run this thing and get it out of the state's control because we're in charge and let's act like we're in charge. I know that sounds crazy, but I just kind of wonder what y'all's thoughts were on that.
Joe?
Well, 2 years ago, I think the budget for the federal Department of Education was $260 or $80 billion, of which less than $50 billion got back out to the different states. If you're in California like I am, the money doesn't come to the district. It goes to the State Department of Education. And then they decide whether you meet the parameters, and then like a good mafia group, they get their cut of the action, and then they send that money to that particular district. I think the fear for me would be if you had a federal Department of Education, it'll all depend on who's at the head again and what happens and who gets that money. I think money, local tax money, I live in L.A. County, and money that people pay for property taxes, the portion that's cut out for schools should be sent directly to the school district. Look, we get elected by constituents in our area, in our little town, big cities, whatever, because they agree with maybe the way we think or the kind of fight we would have for them. We know what to do with that money, but we don't get it the way we need to get it, the way we should get it, to be able to make those changes. And I agree, you know, frankly, most of our kids couldn't pass a you know, a constitutional test that immigrants have to pass to stay in the country.
It's a great point. Boyd, thank you for the call. It gave us something to think about. Joe, where can people go if they want to get more info on all the great stuff you're up to?
Well, I appreciate that, Todd. Just go to joemessina.com, joemessina.com. You catch it right there. You can catch the show, the podcast, and have some fun.
Well, you're always going to have a lot of fun. All right, Joe, and what time does the show air?
6 to 9 West Coast, 9 to midnight East Coast, and you can get it online, too, if you need to.
So if you want to go to bed with Joe Messina, you can do that on the radio. So.
I've had plenty of people say they go to sleep with me. I'm glad my wife understands.
She's a very understanding woman.
All right,
Joe, and please tell her we said hello. Thank you, as always.
All right. God bless, Todd. Keep up the good work.
All right. Good man right there, folks. The great Joe Messina out there in Santa Clarita, California. And he is. He's the president of the school board and does an amazing job there in Santa Clarita. You know, some exciting news to share with you. The book Pagan Threat, doing so well. Pagan Threat, written by our friend Pastor Lucas Miles. And, of course, Charlie Kirk wrote the foreword to the book. It was one of the very last things he did before his assassination. Charlie said that this is the book that has the plan to stop wokeism from infecting America. And it's been a number one bestseller, New York Times bestseller as well. And you can get Pagan Threat free with Newsmax's special offer. Save $30. Go online right now to PaganThreat.com. That's PaganThreat.com.
You ready for another uncomfortable truth where I said the quiet part out loud? If the government feeds you, it can starve you. If the government houses you, it can evict you. If the government pays your utilities, it can turn them off. If the government pays your cell phone, it can disconnect it. If the government provides your transportation, it can decide where you go and when you can travel. If the government takes care of your health, it can decide when it's spent enough money on you. If the government educates your children, it can choose what they learn. If the government raises your children, it can shape what they believe. If the government controls your information, it can control your truth. And when a government controls all of those things, it doesn't have to take your freedom. You'll hand it over piece by piece in exchange for comfort. You'll think you're being cared for when reality is you're being kept. Okay? Every single thing comes at a price, because the moment you depend on them for everything, you depend on them for permission to live.
Yeah, that's a lot of truth there. And again, the whole point of freedom and liberty is not being shackled to the government for a handout. And unfortunately, we've raised a generation, two generations of people to think the other way on that. Let's go to the phone lines. Say hello to John in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Mr. Starnes. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I really enjoyed your interview with Senator Tupperville. But what I wanted to say was I'm getting close to turning 70 years old. Been 20 years in the military, been all over the world. And I've watched this country, you know, in a steady decline for a long time. And I don't think we're going to recover. I think it's too late already. Because, like you said, with the education department, with the mass media or mainstream media, with social media, we don't have a chance. I don't think there's any way we're going to be able to turn it around. And I hate to say that because I have grandkids, and I don't know if it's going to happen during my lifetime, but I'm afraid there's going to be another revolution in this country, and there's going to be Americans killing Americans in the streets one of these days. And I don't think it's going to be that too far off.
John, is there a moment you can point to when you decided, yeah, this is it, we're done?
I would say probably when Biden got elected, and the illegal immigrants just start pouring across the border, and I said we're just done. I mean, you know, and I have full faith that this next election cycle, the American people, they're going to put Democrats back in power, and because the American people just, they're so spoiled, and they've had everything handed to them on a silver platter, and they think they deserve, you know, they deserve that. They don't, the Americans today don't know what it is to work hard and you know, raise a family and try to be a good American. They just, you know, they're on social media, they listen to the news on TV, and whatever the TV tells them, they believe it.
You know,
and that's what's sad. There's no independent thinkers anymore.
No. No, well, that's true. And even within the conservative world, that's a big problem. You know, John, I have hope for the country. I do think that we are at a precipice. I have no doubt about that. The question is, what are we the people? Are there enough people like you in this country that are willing to stand up and fight for this? Because I think we are going to have to fight. And if Islam takes hold in this country, it will spread like wildfire. We're watching that happen across Western Europe. That is my greatest concern, because they'll be coming after all of us. John, I got to run. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. Hang tight. Open line Friday, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I was, pardon me, I was watching a TV show over across the big pond called Good Morning Britain. And they were interviewing a guy, a World War II veteran. His name is Alec Penstone. Mr. Penstone is 100 years old. And it was a beautiful thing. They were giving him an award. They were honoring him and doing very nice things for this man. And during the course of the conversation, he really dropped some truth bombs on the state of affairs in his country. And there's no doubt about it. The UK is in shambles right now. I'm not even sure the monarchy is going to survive. I'm not sure the country is going to be able to survive. They are in the throes of an Islamic takeover, even as you and I are sitting here and speaking today. People are not allowed to have a free thought in their minds. They're not able to write what's on their minds on social media. Many people are being arrested and thrown in jail. Christians especially are coming under attack for speaking out. And it's a bad situation. Now, in 1950, this is an interesting statistic. In 1950, England was 99.9% white. So there were a lot of lily white folk wandering around in England back in 1950. Today, the number of white people in England has dropped to barely 70%, and there has been a massive influx of immigrants into the UK. The entire country has been flooded with immigration, and it's mostly from hotbeds of Islamic extremism. And so what's happening, you've got the Islamist population, and they are having babies out the wazoo. And it will not be long. I mean, how many years now has the name Muhammad been the number one choice of baby names in the UK? I mean, this is the reality of the UK right now. And so Mr. Penstone, who served in World War II, was really lamenting what had become of his country. Let's take a listen.
What does Remembrance Sunday mean for you? What is your message?
My message is, I can see in my mind's eye, there's rows and rows of white stones of all the hundreds of my friends and everybody else that gave their lives for what? The country of today. No, I'm sorry. The sacrifice wasn't worth the result that it is now.
Oh, well, I'm
what
sorry.
What do you mean by that, though, at this point?
What we fought for, and what we fought for was our freedom. We find that even now it's darn sight worse than what it was when I fought for it.
Yeah, I think that caught everybody by surprise. And I will tell you, I hope that he was not arrested as a result of speaking his mind. I mean, you can't put it past him. But again, the guy said, what we fought for was freedom. And even now, the country is worse now than it was back in the 1940s when they were fighting the Nazis. I mean, it really is a damning verdict of what's happening in modern-day England right now. When you have a 100-year-old British veteran who said, what was the point of all of this? What were we fighting for? Hundreds of his friends gave their lives for what? That's what this guy is saying. And it's a fair question. It's a fair question. And let me say something. You better pay attention because that's what's happening right here in this nation. And not even a lot of conservatives are taking a look at what's going on. So I want to play some audio here. This is a guy who lays it all out there. And I don't know who this fellow is, but he's a smart cookie. He's a regular Joe. And he points out something very interesting about Zoe Ramadan, who is the new mayor of New York City. A Ugandan Muslim who came to this country, just not too terribly long ago. He's only been a citizen for 7 years. And again, this is, you've got to sort of just rip yourself away from all of the noise and just think about this logically. I mean, you know how hard it is to run for a public office, right? I mean, it's, you have to know people, you've got to raise all this money, you've got to do all of this stuff, and it's a ground game. And a lot of people are now beginning to wonder, wait a second. This is the largest city in America. How is it that this nobody just shows up, puts his name in the hat, and all of a sudden he's the next mayor? Cut number 6.
Hey, good morning. Let this sink in. We've got a 34-year-old who's only been an American for 7 years now, who's got a degree in African studies, who's openly talked about hating this country, who now runs what used to be one of the greatest cities in America. It's absolutely unfathomable. And for those of you who think that this is just a New York problem, don't worry about it. You're absolutely wrong. Now, look, this is a city that I loved. I'm heartbroken about it. I was born not too far from there. My son was born there. I was married there. My grandfather, an immigrant, helped build that city brick by brick. But look, he is an immigrant who came to this country with the idea of this is a land of opportunity. Let me learn English. Let me add. Let me see what I can do to make this a better country and make this an opportunity for me and my family. And that is what this country is about. It's not about colonialism. It's not about handouts. It's not about let's take from people who are doing well and give to the people who don't want to work for a living. And those are the people that don't want to work for a living who voted for this clown. Those are the people, unfortunately, are becoming the new majority. And unless we wake up, unless we fight back against this, it's not just going to be New York City, guys. These are like locusts. They will take that city and burn it to the ground. And once they're done and it's in ashes, they will move to the next city, to the next state, the next country, whatever they need to do. And so if you're an American who cares about the American dream, if you care about your kids' future, if you care about this continuing to be a beacon of hope, you need to wake up to change the way you vote. You need to change the way that you hire. You need to change the way that you speak and what you represent. Because if you do not, this will become the new majority and this will sweep across America much faster than you think, guys. So look, use this as a warning sign, use this as a wake-up call, because unless you do, what we all believe about this country could be changing very, very soon.
Yeah, something is not right here. It's all off. This was all contrived. This was all part of some sort of a very well organized and well thought out plan. And the fact of the matter is, you have an avowed communist, an avowed Jew hater that is about ready to lead the largest city in America. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Jerry in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd Starnes. Bear with me. It's open on Friday, so hopefully we'll have time for two things. What do you want first, DSA or the filibuster?
Well, but let's start with the first one, Jerry. Let's get to it, sir.
Okay. Did you see the list of demands that the Democratic Socialists have sent to Mondami? I think it was leaked. I don't think we've ever seen it. We were supposed to see it, but have you seen it?
I have seen it. Our good friend Jerry Dunleavy was the one who exposed it. They inadvertently sent him a copy of it. They weren't supposed to do that. So it was an unintended leak. But, yeah, it's pretty shocking stuff.
And a couple of weeks ago I heard, and I've since verified it because I only heard it in one place, that the DSA had issued a press release demanding – don't you love how Democrats never ask or politely request? They start with, we demand. Democratic Socialists, in a press release a couple of weeks ago, demanded that the executioner of the young Jewish couple outside the embassy be released. Did you hear about that?
Okay, Jerry, you're getting to a lot of stuff here, so let's get to the point.
The point is that the Democrat Socialists, no matter what they say, all of this proves to me that they are nothing but a front. They are an anti-Semitic group. That is all they are about. And where are the reporters? You know, a Republican can't raise an eyebrow without reporters going to every Republican they can find. Won't you denounce what blah, blah said? Won't you denounce the young Republicans' text chain? When is a reporter going to go up to Bernie Sanders and say, hey, don't you denounce the DSA's demand that the executioner of the young Jewish couple be released? What is this?
Well, in the leaked demand list that Jerry Dunleavy got his hands on, they are demanding that Mamdani follow through on his campaign promises, and he's going to have to do this. And that would be, number one, to divest New York City pension funds from Israeli bonds and securities, withdraw city funds from banks that lend money to Israel or do business in Israel, and any city contracts with companies that do business with Israel. They further demand that all of these so-called city-run grocery stores that Mamdani is about to open up, they must be free from Israeli products. They're also demanding the eviction of weapons manufacturers and transporters from the New York City metro area and remove nonprofit status from charities that raise money for the Israeli Defense Forces.
The other thing on the filibuster, every demand they had was basically hate Israel, hate the Jews. That's all it was about. Every demand they had was involved with hate Israel, hate the Jews, punish Israel, punish the Jews. On the filibuster thing real quick, I heard on a podcast earlier this week, I don't remember which one it was, and, you know, I'm Republican, so I work during the day while I'm trying to listen to my shows. I'm not always able to follow everything that they're saying. But they were putting forth the proposition that if we just go back to the filibuster as it was meant to be, the old school filibuster, the Mr. Smith goes to Washington filibuster, that we wouldn't need to nuke anything. What we would need was at least 51 Republicans to sit there from the beginning of the filibuster to the end. And the reason they won't do that is because they're too lazy and uncommitted to doing their job. Do you know more about this theory? Or, boy, I wish Victor David Hansen was listening. Maybe he could call and help us out.
I'm not following your question here, Jerry. What are you asking of me?
The filibuster used to be like in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. You've seen the movie, right?
Many, 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 many years ago.
Sometime in the 70s or 80s, I think, they got rid of that. And now you don't have to stand up and hold the floor and give your speech. And I'm sorry, I don't understand the way it works either, and I thought maybe you could
help.
Well, look, here's the deal. Somebody's going to bust the filibuster. It's either going to be the Democrats or the Republicans. I think Trump is right. Democrats are chomping at the bit over this. May as well let the Republicans do it so at least we can get the president's agenda through. Because right now, nothing's happening. I mean, nothing is happening. And if we get to the midterms and we're in the same situation, last Tuesday is going to look like a Sunday school picnic compared to what's going to happen to Republicans. Jerry, got to run. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Patty in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Patty. What's up?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Listen, I'm going to say something about the filibuster. Well, I'll talk about that, but I want to talk about Manami, too. You know what cracks me up about him? And you know what, New Yorkers? You know what, 81% of the voters that voted for him, you know they were women? They were women between the ages of 18 and 25.
What's the common denominator, Patty? I'm going to give you a quiz here. What's the common denominator among all those gals?
All liberals.
And they're single. They can't find a man.
And single? Well, did you see half of them?
Well, I'm not going to judge, but I will say this.
Excuse me. I am a woman, and you know what?
Yes, you can talk about
I'm
this.
I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you something. I'm 65 years old, and I'm a pretty, after all the stuff that I've been through, I'm still a pretty hot woman, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. Those women that voted for Madami, Pat, if you look at him with the purple hair, they all look like that. Who's that congresswoman? The one that looks like Klinger.
She looks like Colonel. What is it? You're right. Is it Klinger? What's the guy's name? It's Bash.
Like Klinger. She's got the purple hair and the big nose what's her name? She's a horror. You know, whatever. It's a horror show, man. But let me tell you something.
DeLauro. That's her name,
yeah,
DeLauro.
DeLauro, yeah. Yeah, DeLauro. And you know what? The funny thing is that, you know, when he didn't even win the whole state. You know, 50% of New York did not vote for him.
Vote for who, Mandami? New York City?
Right.
He got over 50% of the vote.
But, I mean, a lot of people didn't vote for him. I mean, they're throwing him out there like he's the next. He is already asking. I've seen the commercial. He says, did you see the commercial? The commercial, and Lauren called me, my daughter. She said, Mom, commercial. He comes out and he says, listen, he goes, remember when I said I didn't need no more money? But now he needs money for his transition team, which all are women. His transition team's all women, and I'm sure they're all going to be in those black garbs with their face covered, right? I'm telling you, January 1st is going to be he is the devil in disguise. New York.
Bingo.
Todd, New York is screwed. I'm telling you.
Oh, they're done, Patty. They are done. And the only thing, the only hope we have is that Trump does not lift a finger to help. Let them all suffer. They're going to have to learn their lesson. And that's the only way they can learn their lesson. So they voted for this. They got to live with it. And Patty, I got to run for a break. Great to hear from you. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, here's Congresswoman Jayapal weighing in on illegal immigration. Cut two.
It has included people who have been here for 15, 20 years, living, contributing in their communities. They have relationships across their communities. They're undocumented, but they have no other crime. And as you know, being undocumented is actually not a crime.
Yes, actually, it is, ma'am, which is why we call it illegal immigration. That's the clue, by the way. Illegal, not legal. They have all got to go. Every single last one of them. I know a lot of people are upset at President Trump right now over this because they're like, but Mr. President, you said you were going to just go after the the illegal immigrants, not the ones that are like making our tacos or cleaning our toilets. And the president right now, they're rounding up everybody. Illegal is illegal. And I'm not sure why people have such a hard time with that. All right, hang tight. Got to take a break. It is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, you folks in Houston, Texas, our good Patriot Talk 920 listeners, this has to be exciting. The police union there in Houston trying to recruit New York City cops. You know, a lot of NYPD officers, also a lot of firefighters. As a matter of fact, the commissioner of the fire department, she's already resigned. And a lot of this has to do with the fact, or he's rather resigned. The reason why is because they'll be working for Zoe Ramadan. So they're out of there. So now the Houston Police Officers Union posting a message saying, NYPD, are you disgusted with the election of Zohran Mamdani, a.k.a. Zoe Ramadan? Join us. The Houston Police Department is hiring police officers. Would that not be a great thing? Let me just say this. Houston, if you guys are so lucky as to get some of these NYPD officers, your streets are going to be a lot safer. These guys are incredible law enforcement officers. I think any city in America would be glad to have the NYPD veterans coming on board. So well done. By the way, airline travel, I'm just curious if you've tried to get out there. It is not looking good. Now there's even talk of just shutting down air travel altogether if they cannot reopen the government. Again, the Schumer shutdown, a result of all of this, but certainly not a good day, not a good weekend to go traveling anywhere by air. So we're now at day 38, and Senate Majority Leader John Thune is still telling folks that we need to come back and vote to reopen the government. But that doesn't appear likely. The Department of Transportation announcing that it would start cutting 4% of the flights, ramping up to as much as 10%. And by midday, more than 1,200 flights have been canceled around the country. So that's the very latest there. Time now for a little bit of crime news across the country.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo call, the popo call, the popo.
This is the Starnes ABB.
Dateline, Lake Crystal, Minnesota, where a Minnesota man went Florida. That's right, 66-year-old man, Paul Severson, charged Tuesday with disorderly conduct in connection with alleged nude displays outside his residence in Lake Crystal. According to police, they interviewed a number of witnesses, and Mr. Severson was spotted outside without any clothes on, according to the police report, quote, butt-ass naked. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, again, the Minnesota man, 66 years old, spotted outside his home, and he was chainsawing while butt-ass naked. Again, the actual phrase from the police report, neighbors say that Mr. Severson routinely does yard work while nude, and people are very upset about it. The neighbors are very concerned, and one witness said that their children saw him naked for the first time, and the child did that while riding to riding to school in the bus. That's not good. Well, also, it's not good, and I just want to point this out as a public service announcement to any of you folks that actually do yard work butt naked. The fact of the matter is, Mr. Severson could have been severed. You got to watch those chainsaws. All right, next story. Oh, this is not a good one. Smashing Pumpkins. Not the band. No, ladies and gentlemen, a man, a Florida man. Whoops. Oh, here we go. I missed that one. We'll get back to that one in just a moment. We better, Dylan, we're going to have to do a redo. Thank you. A Florida man apparently mistook a 7-Eleven toilet for a Ritz-Carlton bathroom. He was arrested for striking a female clerk with a wad of his chewing tobacco during the 7-Eleven and due to the 7-Eleven store's lack of toilet paper. Investigators say Dolan Albert, age 40, entered the 7-Eleven to go to the bathroom. He then began arguing with the victim over the lack of toilet paper. As recounted by a security camera, Mr. Albert gathers a wad of tobacco from his mouth and throws it at the victim, striking her in the face. That is disgusting. Jeez, Lou. An officer who reported the 7-Eleven reported that he could spot the remnants of the defendant's spit and tobacco on the victim's face and clothing. No, that's not a birthmark, officer. It's not a birthmark. Anyway, Mr. Albert has been booked in the county jail. He was released after posting a $1,000 bond. I really hope they had toilet paper there in the jail. All right, there you go. Next story. This from Buffalo, New York. An escaped pig went on a rampage through a New York neighborhood, turned out to be a pet belonging to a Buffalo police officer. Wait a second, a cop owns a pig? Is that...
They ran out of dogs.
Wait, what? That's not good. Residents on Victor Place in the Hamlin Park Historic District of Buffalo said their neighborhood erupted into chaos when the large pig ran through the area and chased locals. That's not good. Those pigs can be mean. I mean, downright. You know why? Because they know what we do. They can smell the bacon. That's Aunt Marge, sir. You had Aunt Marge for breakfast. Video captured by a witness shows animal control and police pursuing the porcine perpetrator. Renita Shadwick's video features audio of a police officer identifying the pig as his pet. Oh, my God.
I heard they gave him a weapon in Kevlar.
You know what the pig's name is? Breakfast.
Should be Officer Breakfast.
That's brutal. The officer said the pig had apparently escaped by going under a fence. Neighbors said the officer eventually captured the pig and took it home. Now, here's what's interesting. Buffalo does not have any city laws that actually ban the ownership of pigs or other farm animals inside the city. Breakfast the Pig was not the only wayward pig captured in recent weeks. Oinking Acres Farm and Rescue recently wrangled a pig that had been on the loose in the Indianapolis, in the Holiday Park area for several days. They managed to give rescuers the slip during multiple, those pigs are a lot faster than you might think. They really are. Well, anyway, I guess breakfast is back home, and we'll just see if in fact the police officer decides to have breakfast for dinner. And that's your crime news, ladies and gentlemen. All right. wow. Let's go to the phone lines here. Jimmy in North Carolina. Hi, Jimmy. What's on your mind?
I'm still laughing at you saying I'm going to have breakfast for dinner. Oh, my God. I am a Trump supporter. I don't agree with everything he does. I don't think anybody does. But the Democrats, when Trump was running for office the first time, I just feel like the Democrats just had their fingers all into the COVID pandemic. And they were looking for anything they could to help shut Trump down. And I know that people said it was developed in China and all this other stuff, but it just happened during his administration, and everybody pointed the finger at him to make him look bad. And they did, and that's why Biden got in office, unfortunately. He was still doing good for the country, in my opinion, but he had no help. Now he's back in office, and I just feel like they're probably using this shutdown at this time to cripple the country again to make him look bad. That's just the way I see it, because the Democrats, they're not doing what their constituents want. And the Republicans, is like a guy earlier said, don't have the jingles to do what's necessary to get this country open again.
I mean, it may be something as simple as that, but again, I just feel as though the Republicans, they have to get on board with the agenda here, Jimmy, and they're going to have to really, really get behind President Trump and the agenda. And if they don't, then we lose in the midterms. I think it's that simple. And right now, the Democrats, their base, they're getting mobilized, and these people are going to be radical.
Agreed. Agreed. I enjoy your show. I look forward to it in the afternoons, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Well, I'm honored to do so, Jimmy, and thank you for calling in. Let's go to John in Moorhead City, North Carolina. Hi, John. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I thought about it. I got the stock tip of the day. Buy some Amtrak stock, and they'll be making money because all the airlines aren't flying.
Well, you know, this is interesting because Amtrak is not considered a government agency, and they have their own revenue sources, so they didn't have to shut down. So the trains are still on the tracks, John. This is actually a great idea.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I don't have an Amtrak close to me in eastern North Carolina. I have to drive at least 50, 60 miles. If I do that, I might as well drive myself to the place I'm going to go.
Yeah, look, but, you know what gets me, John? What I'm worried about, it's not necessarily the delays. It's the lack of air traffic controllers, and that it's just too dangerous. I think it really is just too dangerous to fly right now.
Well, I didn't call you about it, but I have an idea of resolving the shutdown. And it makes it simple. Just any straight CR is not under the filibuster rule.
You're right. I think, John. Thank you for that call. All right, good stuff there. 901-260-5926. I'm gonna play some audio here. This is a black dude. And he was on one of these podcasts, and he's talking about slavery. And it's an interesting take. Cut number three.
Found the white family that purchased the first black wood of my bloodline off the slave ships in Charleston.
Yep, that's what we came off of.
If I wanted to today, I could find the white wood descendants in southern Georgia and pull up on a house. One day I will.
Yeah.
They ain't got no money, though. I Zillowed they crib. They broke. Like, that's the thing we're going to talk about with slavery, man. Is that there was a lot of white people fumbled. Like, yo.
They fumbled the bag.
Yeah, you had working for you. You still couldn't come up. How you broke and you had slaves?
Yeah, that was valuable. That was gold.
They fumbled, bro.
All right. Couple of observations here. I got no problem with this. The problem is, well, I do have one problem. And the problem is he's Zillowing the wrong people. He was Zillowing the wrong crib. My friend here needs to be Zillowing the huts over in Africa. Because as he just announced to the entire nation, it was his own people that sold themselves into slavery. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. An overwhelming majority of the slaves that were sent to the United States were sold into slavery by black tribal leaders in Africa. Now, this is a very inconvenient truth for a lot of folks, and I understand, and I know there's a lot of shock right now. Some people probably even gasped. Yes, I said it, gasped. But it's true. An overwhelming number of the slaves that were sent to America and that landed in, of all places, Charleston, South Carolina, came from African nations. So if this guy, and honestly, I'm not sure what the point of that was, because he said that he's going to roll up on them one day. What does that mean? What exactly, sir, do you mean by when you're going to roll up? I'm just curious to know. Can we go back and listen to that one more time?
Found the white family that purchased the first black wood of my bloodline off the slave ships in Charleston.
Yep. That's what we came off of.
If I wanted to today, I could find the white wood descendants in southern Georgia and pull up on their house.
Okay, stop it.
One day.
So, well, why? Why are you going to pull up on their blanking house, sir? What you going to do? What you going to do when they come? Oh, sorry. That's got caught up in the moment. But look, again, if you're going to do that, fine. But you need to go back to Africa. You need to go back to Africa and find out who sold your people into slavery. Seems to me that's who your argument is with. By the way, this whole notion that, well, what happened to all these white people because everybody owned slaves in the South? Again, this is where you come for facts, ladies and gentlemen. It was about 25% of Southerners who owned slaves. 25%. So an overwhelming, that, again, if you're going to do the math, 75% of Southerners did not have slaves. Dylan, did you guys have a slave growing up?
Don't think so.
Same here. I had to take out my own trash. Mm-hmm. Had to mow the grass. The soil wasn't fertile enough for cotton, so I didn't have to pick any cotton. But I'm just saying that I do wear cotton, though. It's the fabric of our life. Don't hold that against me. So, again, I'm just saying here, this dude, what a moron. All right, hang tight. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to Stephen, Morehead City, North Carolina. Hi, Stephen. What's going on?
Hi, man. I want to just tell you, I am an original despicable American. Still got the book you gave me, first edition, and you're on your game today. But this is fun. Let's start with the fun stuff. So you know, I'm a partner in the Marcon Plantation, MARCON, and it was built in 1845, and it was built by indentured servants. They were not slaves. They were indentured, and they earned their way, and they are to this day the Shiloh community. You can look it up in Morrisville, North Carolina. Not Mooresville, but Morrisville near Cary Apex. They all intruded. And they are buried on the property.
Stephen, I've got about 45 seconds and the computer is going to cut us off.
Oh, here it goes. Here it goes. And we had something called a chair party. And we raised hogs. And we would take a piglet, not a full size hog, but we would do barbecue. And barbecue anywhere else, you can throw an umbrella on something. But here in North Carolina, no, it's pork. And what we do is the piglets, we'd put the piglet out there and we grease the pig. You ever heard of a greased pig? That's where it came from. And that was a thing. That has been a tradition for almost 2 years. Where they would grease the pig and try to pull the ribbon off their tail and they'd win a prize.
Oh, yeah. Look, I remember that growing up. That was like a huge deal, the greased pigs. Personally, being from Memphis, I prefer dry rub. But, yeah, I'm familiar with that. Stephen, I got to run, my friend. But thanks for taking us down memory lane. Folks, it has been a great week. We're going to be back in the saddle next week. Look forward to seeing all of you at Prestonwood Baptist Church on Sunday. Get out there, folks. Have a great Friday. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.